is Craig Holdridge. He's the co-founder and director of the Nature Institute, and he's the author of Thinking Like a Plant, A Living Science for Life, and Beyond Biotechnology, The Barren Promise of Genetic Engineering, and Genetics and the Manipulation of Life, The Forgotten Factor of Context. Craig Holdridge will speak to us on hyperreal and real / humans in cyberworld.
Thank you. I'd like to start with a short video. Consider how it is that we as human beings can participate in a video like that and see something of the remarkableness of the fox. That can occur because we ourselves are embodied beings, like a fox is an embodied being. We know what it's like to breathe in the cold and to see our breath. We know what it's like to walk through a bit of snow. And we definitely know that we could probably not catch a mouse underneath the snow. So we compare with our own experience, and yet our appreciation of the beauty of the fox, of those fluid movements, of the stopping, of the focus, of being in that snowy landscape that is part of its world all come from ourselves having embodied experiences, also being beings on this planet who live in elements. Without that would be a pure sensation, or boring, or it would be something neat to look at. So, for us to appreciate something that comes towards us on such a screen, that has no depth to it, where there's no fox behind the screen, has to do with what we bring to it, how we fill out those images through our own experience. And the more embodied experience we have in the world, the more we can appreciate there about the fox's tail, about it, the pattern of its fur, about its shape, about its movements, about the world it lives in. So here we're dealing with the real and the hyper-real. And the reality that we imbue such a video with is something that I want to pay a lot of attention to and come back to in a moment. This video was constructed. It was, in many ways, is something very unreal. No fox would let us get that close. How did we get close to the fox with a telephoto lens? We can look at this video here in this dark room in New York City right now, and you could find it on YouTube and you can look at it at home at any time, anywhere. The person who took those photos waited a long time. That person waited in the cold. That person had a lot of patience, some of the patience of the fox, in order to let the fox, or to perceive the fox appearing in the landscape and doing what it did. And then the editor cut that together so that what of them might have been hours and hours and hours of movements of fox into 2 minutes and 48 seconds of a beautifully crafted video. So where is the fox in that? Right? It's what we've seen is an art form created out of the interaction of human being, technology, and fox that we can present here. And we as participants are actually onlookers to that. It's very interesting. Was anybody there in the audience now thinking that you were actually sitting in that snowy landscape and the landscape behind you? No, we weren't there. We were onlookers. And yet we were at the same time participants, otherwise the video is meaningless. So we have a constructed image, and that allows us to appreciate something in the fox if we bring experience to it. And yet it's at the same time this absolutely strange phenomenon that to use the words of Albert Borgman, the philosopher of technology, it dissolves the constraints of space and time. Right? We can have it now. So, in looking at this technology, this unreal reality, the hyper-real, the hypo-real, the question is, how do we as human beings relate to this, and what is real? What is real? And for me, real is actually seeing a fox in upstate New York for 5 seconds trotting across a field. For me, real is going out of this building into the sunlight and being warmed and having a very different air come into my lungs. For me, the real is having a conversation with another person. So these real experiences that come in moments that are like gifts, you could say. And the reality is not something just out there. The reality is I am participating in that which I call real. Otherwise, it is not real. I have to be there. I have to perceive it. So all reality is in this way relational. Everything else is just a fiction. But that video is a reality. But it's of a very different nature than the fox I experience trotting across the field. So this question of reality, Albert Borgman has some wonderful words about that. Today, the critical and crucial distinction for nature and humans is not between the natural and the artificial, but between the real and the hyperreal. What is eminently real has a commanding presence and a telling and strong continuity with its world. Whatever is devoid of contextual bonds and hence freely, that is instantaneously and ubiquitously available, is therefore subject to our whims and control and cannot command our respect in its own right. Conversely, whatever engages our attention due to its own dignity does so in important part as an embodiment and disclosure of the world it has emerged from. This distinction is marred by clear cases at the endpoints of the spectrum, wilderness at the one end, videos at the other. And there are many interesting and intricate intermediates. So he brings this idea of commanding or genuine presences as characterizing the real, where you perceive that something is rooted in a larger context of which it is revelatory, that the leaf flying through the air is revelatory of the whole context of wind and warmth at that moment. That the fox moving across the landscape is revelatory of its larger being in that world that I get a glimpse of at a moment. It